All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Let's get started. And let me just mention, I was asked this morning if this was a male-female class, and it is. It is. It's simultaneous. And I really appreciate Debbie being here to be supportive. It is. It's just there's also, I think, at least one more ladies' class upstairs. So, but for future reference, if that is the case, I'll have this class for 4 weeks, but it is not just for men, although, you know, last month we've had just men meeting in here, so this is for everybody that would like to come. So Adam is beginning again the class on the parables upstairs. Am I right on that, Adam?
Yes.
Okay, next Sunday. But anyway, let me go through my spiel at the beginning for the recording. Good morning. This is June the 7th, 2026. My name is Skip Furrow, and I am leading the Adult Bible Fellowship class, Christian Friendship. All right, just to make it official this morning. This class will include, I want to make sure that we include, there's times I've actually composed questions that I want us to be able to discuss. And so I'm going to do my best to rephrase those questions for the recording that is being done on this class as well. But let's open up in prayer as we begin. Thank you, Lord, for the subject that we get to look at today. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have called us friends. I thank you, Lord, that in and behind all of this that we'll be looking at is a God who loved us first, who has pursued us, who has accepted us as we are, and who has taken us and made us his beloved by his own sacrifice. And Lord, as we look at this time together, this next 4 weeks, that we would see most of all, not just the example, but the empowerment of our best friend, you, that we would understand you better and understand our relationship with you better. And Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity just to dig into your word this morning. And I pray for Pastor Rich as he shares from Luke chapter 4 this morning. We're so looking forward to that. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing. And Lord, we pray for Sally as she is conducting the class upstairs with the ladies. Thank you for what she's prepared as well. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the subject of friendship, and primarily we'll be looking at the wisdom literature of Proverbs. But what I intend to do on each of these four lessons is to come back around the last few minutes of the class. I'm estimating like the last 7 minutes of the class, if I can be that precise on it, to take a look at the example and the empowerment of Jesus in our life. Because what I want us to be able to do is not just to see this as just, it's going to be very practical. I mean, extremely practical. This class will be looking at just extremely practical information that we can apply. But I don't want us to come out of here and say, okay, I need to do step 1, 2, and 3, although some of that will be helpful. But what I want to be able to do is to have an attitude of worship and gratitude and humility at seeing Jesus as the best friend that we could ever have. And if we come out of that with that in mind, I think we'll be really well off. But the whole idea of friendship, let me just begin, and we'll be opening our Bibles, but for some of these, I'll just be quoting at the beginning. The whole concept of friendship is a really big deal. And let me begin by just saying, by introduction on this book on relationships, I really want to recommend, if you don't have it, get it. It's called Relationships, A Mess Worth Having by Timothy Lane and Paul Tripp. I love the writings of Paul Tripp. And one of the things it brings out is that friendship is based on two things: our identity and our worship. Our identity in Christ and the concept that we have of God. Now, as we go through this, I think you'll see if that seems like an abstract foreign concept to you, like what would my worship have to do with my friendship? I think you'll see that as we proceed through this time together. But the way that we look at ourselves and the way that we see ourselves, whether we're in Christ, accepted in Christ, and yeah, come on in, Bill. Yes. And then the way that we see God are very, very important to the whole concept we'll be looking at. So let's just begin. I'll just dig right in on this. Proverbs 18:1, it says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." I'm going to read that again. "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." This is one of many verses that tells us that we were designed for community. We were designed to be in a relationship with others, and primarily a relationship with God. Our relationship with God is foundational. Number two, our relationship with each other. When we look at Ephesians chapter 4, for instance, "Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Just one quote from that section of Scripture. Friendship is not an option for a disciple of Jesus. The whole concept, "I love Jesus, but I just can't get along with people," that just does not fly in a relationship with God. There's a flaw there that God is working on in our life. Therefore, God's Word has a great deal to say about this subject. The vital importance of friendship, right, is so important to God that 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him." Now finish the rest of it with me, please. "We love Him because He first loved us. Now you look back at your salvation experience, all of us will have to agree that we have been saved, we have been brought to Christ, not because primarily we wanted God, but because He wanted us. I love, is it Philip or Nathaniel in John chapter 1? And he says, "We found the Messiah." And I'm sure an angel in heaven was laughing his head off saying, "What do you mean you found the Messiah? He found you." But I think it's pretty comical that they phrase it that way. And that it was God that was seeking them, not the other way around. It means so much. Friendship and relationships that are in Christ means so much that in John 17, these are just tremendous words. John chapter 17 and verse 21. It says, I'll start reading in verse 20. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that," dependent clause, purpose clause, "so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Our relationship with each other is of such great paramount importance to God that it is the means by which the world will understand the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel that Jesus Christ, hey Ben, that God sent His Son into the world to save us. John 13, 35. And we're just talking about the importance of this topic. John 13, 35. Let's see. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So in John 13, the way that people will know that we are followers of Jesus is by the way we love one another. And in John 17, the way the world will know the gospel is by the way that we are one with each other. And the comparison is made by Jesus in that prayer, as Jesus says, is "you and I are one, Father." Now, can anyone put into a brief statement the unity between the Father and the Son? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
They both are interconnected, communicating with each other, because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. They know each other. Jesus was always adhering to the Father's will, to his Father's will. Father was always holding up his Son.
Well said, Ezra. Yeah. It's the combining of the two. I'm going to try to rephrase what you said. There's communication. I would say there's love in what you just said. There's acceptance. There is a giving back and forth. Okay. All right. That is the example of the oneness that we are to have with one another. So all this to say, what we're talking about here is extremely important to the heart of God. It begins in the heart of God. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Now, there's plural statements there give us a hint that we're not talking about a God who is like a single entity, but the one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, to be honest with you, we teach children here, and I teach children for a living. And whenever I start talking about the Trinity, I start fumbling over my words. I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. But basically, there is one God. Amen? One God. But this one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A community. A togetherness. A family. A unity. It is amazing. Okay? The sharing of authority of this great, awesome, sovereign God. And he says to Adam and Eve, now you rule over the animals. You take care of the garden. Adam, I want you to name. I'm giving the responsibility to you. You name these animals, whatever you come up with. That's why a cow is called a cow, because Adam called it a cow. Whatever it was in the language he was speaking at the time. All right? And so God led him. The sharing of authority, the response of like a father and a son. I took Teddy fishing yesterday, and I was teaching him how to cast a Zepco push-button reel, you know? And I was casting it for him because I didn't want to get his line tangled. But then I said, okay, you ready? Let me show you. Watch my thumb. You know, and then I gave it to him. He cast it better than I did. It was beautiful. Bragging, yes. And that's on a recording, by the way. But he cast it out there. Okay, I got to share the authority with him. God the Father sharing the authority. The sovereign God of the universe. Adam, name him whatever you want to. I'm going to go with you on this. You know, there's this sharing, all right? His God's thoughtfulness of looking at Genesis 2:18, it is not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmate. The creation of marriage, leaving, cleaving, and then the intimacy and transparency, all right? There is nothing hid between Adam and Eve. Absolutely nothing is hidden from each other. It's total and complete transparency, a close relationship. And then God supplying the covering for them. Now, so friendship is important to God. Relationships are important to God. Let's all say that together. Relationships are important to God. However, they're messy. It's very, very messy. Because now we get into the problem of relationships. God has called us to this. This is what we're designed for. Now, it's not messy between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But for us as sinners, and it wasn't messy between Adam and Eve until sin entered, but it's messy. This book, and I love the first chapter. It's hilarious. They call it, and you got to get this book, but the first chapter, the authors make the statement, and I'm summarizing, this is the shortest and the most important chapter of the book. And these two friends, Timothy Lane and Paul Tripp, they spend the first chapter talking about that evidently that while they were writing this book together, they got into several arguments. Because two good friends were fussing each other. I don't like that. Well, I do. And they got each other's feelings hurt, and they interfered with each other, and they got on each other's nerves. The first chapter is hilarious because they make the full admission, we didn't get along well writing this book. But relationships are supposed to be messy. Timothy Lane and the author and Paul Tripp offer these six truths about relationships. You were made for relationships. In some ways, all relationships are messy. Both are sinners, both deal with selfishness and insecurity. Number three, there are no secrets to guarantee problem-free relationships. Now, I'm going to read that one again. There are no secrets to guarantee problem-free relationships. Number four, at some point, we wonder if relationships are worth the mess. I give up. Now, I've heard people say, I'm going to go to a large church, and I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be faithful to church, but I'm not going to connect with people, I'm not going to get involved, I'm not going to get into ministry, but I'll be there to worship, and I'm going to get involved in worship, but no more. I got myself involved, and I got hurt, I'm done. You know, it's messy. At some point, is it really worth it? I'm just going to live by myself. I'm just going to be by myself. All right. Number five, God keeps us in messy relationships for His redemptive purposes. That's a good one, isn't it? All right. Number six, the fact that relationships work at all is a sign of God's grace. So celebrate the positive. Proverbs 20 in verse 5, and I'm going to have you guys reading, you know, all of you reading, but I'm just trying to make some introductory remarks at this point. Proverbs 20 in verse 5, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Relationships are messy because a friend will probe into your heart and you become vulnerable. It means transparency. Having a good friend means my flaws are going to be pointed out. And I just assume you wouldn't see my flaws. Relationships are messy because sometimes friends are unfaithful. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? But a faithful man who can find? They're messy because people disappoint us. We have expectations, and those expectations are not met, and it gets hurtful. Proverbs 17:9, and we'll come back to this verse in a few minutes. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Some can keep secrets and others can't. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, requires unconditional forgiveness. Friendships require unconditional forgiveness. By the way, who has unconditionally forgiven you? Jesus. Yeah, so have you ever thought about in Matthew chapter 6, what we call the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. By interpretation, God, forgive me just like I forgave Chris Whitlinger yesterday when he really, really made me mad. Forgive me just like I forgave him. Okay, he didn't really get me mad. Did? No, no. Not yesterday. Okay, it's based in unselfishness. If you notice in the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. Our Father, not just my Father. You can't pray this prayer selfishly. Our desire to be fully known and yet still loved and accepted is what we're all after. And then Psalm 55, verse 14, it talks about when there's betrayal of a friend. And it hurts. That hurts bad. Okay, so it's messy. So let's take a look, first of all, and you guys just bear with me on the first part here. I do want to have some discussion in a few minutes, although our time is going so fast. But I want you to see some of the words that are used in Proverbs for friendship. These are interpreted. This first one, and you pronounce it, if you have any, maybe you know, some of you have been to Bible college and studied Hebrew. And so I just put it up there just because I wanted to try to practice actually saying the sounds again. That's been a long time. But it's pronounced ahab, okay? It's a verb. In the verb form, it is to love someone. And the word literally means to breathe after, you know, just with desire. Just, it could even be, the love between a husband and a wife. It can be the love between friendship, the love of God for us, of us loving God. Deuteronomy 6, that word is used, love the Lord, ahab the Lord with all of your heart. Is Isaiah 41:8. It's noun form, Abraham, my friend. Abraham, literally, the one I love. Isn't that cool? All right, that's the word ahab, okay? That's used several times in Proverbs for friendship. This one I think is kind of fun, although I admit I'm still trying to figure it out. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, that's ahab, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends, and the word is pronounced aloof, which is kind of cool. It's a word for friend, pronounced aloof, like that's the exact opposite of what friend should be. But it's really weird. It's kind of a strange word because it also means like it can be used as a chief. It could be used of a cow. It could be used of a husband or of a wife. And it mentions the King James uses it, the word duke. Okay, now I can't see any positive about using the word duke along with friendship and myself, but personally, being a Wake Forest fan. But my point is, it's a duke or a chieftain. And I'm still trying to figure out what all that has to do with each other. But you know how like a cow can be gentle, okay, sometimes? The concept here is a gentle friend. He who repeats the matter separates a gentle friendship. What was a gentle relationship has now been broken by gossip or by betrayal, okay? Aloof. The third one is pronounced rea, a companion or a friend. It's used in Exodus 2:13. Why do you strike your companion? ESV. Exodus 21, verse 14. It's used of another man. And then Proverbs 19:4. Wealth brings many friends, aha, rea, but a poor man is deserted by his rea, his friend. Yeah, can you hang on just a little bit? Yeah, okay. Because I've got some questions I want to get to. Thank you. All right. Proverbs 18:24.
That's the verse I wanted to mention.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, now, and by the way, in the King James, and I'm not saying which one is right, okay? In the King James, it said a very familiar phrase that we all have quoted, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. Okay, that's this verse. For whatever reason, in the ESV, it is a man of many companions may come to ruin. Okay, now, companions is rea, friend is ahab.
There's a reason for that, where it says in the King James, must show himself friendly. That's a single word. May come to ruin is a single word.
Yeah.
The sense of the verb, like we have, you know, past, present, future tense, right? I'm not getting into the grammar. There's a sense of this particular verb. That sense of the verb means this word. Means in an infinitive way to go to the store, going to the store, must show himself friendly is to be broken in pieces and to be shattered. So it puts the emphasis on that verse instead of on I want someone to be my friend, I'm going to be broken in pieces in my friendship towards this person.
Good. That's good. I've never heard that part. That's good. That's good. What's that?
Which one did you say? A man of many companions is the rea?
The companions is rea, the one in yellow.
Right.
If you can see it, friend is ahab, which is the word love. But there is a love. There is one who loves us who sticks closer than a brother. So.
You read right to left in Hebrew, by the way.
Yes, you read right to left. Yes. Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's that rea. Never mind. That it would be the red is ahab, reading from right to left. Yeah, it'll drive you nuts. Right. left to right for Greek, but right to left for Hebrew, right? By the way, the Bible does mention that men should make coffee. He brews. Okay, we'll let Dwight figure that should be in the permanent records or not. Okay, then in New Testament, the word that's used most predominantly for friend is our word phileo or philio. Phileo, you know, agape, phileo, eros. Luke 15, he called together his friends after he found the sheep. He called together his friends and his neighbors. John 15, 19, you know, I've called you friends. The shepherd calls together his friends and neighbors. This is the word. This is the word for love. Okay, it's like what we refer mostly to love. Philadelphia, Adelphos is brother. Phileo is brotherly. Is like a companion type love. The city of brotherly love is what Philadelphia actually means. I've called you friends. John 15:15. The world would love his own. I put there in the red, the world would love his own. That's that word that's also translated as friend. So now, that is an introduction, just to give you a little bit of information on that. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend, a filio of tax collectors and sinners. Aren't you thankful for that verse and for that truth? Yeah, this man eats with sinners and publicans. Praise God, I qualify. All right. Okay, biblical pictures of friendship. And I'll just mention this very quickly for sake of time. Fellowship, brother, love the brethren, the one another commands, and I'll get to your homework and assignment in just a minute. The Holy Spirit, who is our called alongside, our advocate, faithful, a neighbor, and Job's three not so good friends and one good one. All right. Choose your friends wisely. Interesting verse. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. And then Proverbs 18:24 again. Now, in this response, in choosing your friends wisely and being the type of person that a person would choose as a friend, I want to focus just for a few moments on our mouth, watching what we say, because it is of vital importance in our friendship. And then I want to close with what Jesus has said and let that just wash over us. Okay? Watch your words, okay? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm sorry we don't have more time for discussion, but would someone, does anybody have a testimony or an example that they feel like they could share briefly of how you have found this to be true in your life? Where someone has the power of what they said was so influential in your life. And you can think about that. Just have that on your mind. A good word. Proverbs 25:11. I love this verse. A fitly spoken word is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And the fitly spoken, it's spoken in the right circumstance. The right word at the right time. Now, we probably all can come up with a good word, but maybe not the right time to say it. And that's something that I want to deal with sometime during the class. I'm hoping that we can discuss our way through how to be a friend to a grieving person. What the Bible says about when a person is in grief, when a person is sad, how we can minister to that person and be their friend in a biblical way. When a person is in sin, how can we be their friend? When a person is not saved, how can we be their friend? That's one of the things I'm hoping that we will have the time to discuss. And then Proverbs 15:4, and this is worthy of us taking some time. Let's all turn Proverbs chapter 15. Does anybody have an example quickly that you could share? Yeah, Russ?
I can speak for most married men that we can just say something the wrong way, and if we'd have just stopped and said, you know, I shouldn't have worded it that way to my wife, and then, you know, months later, you're having some other discussion, and then your wife goes, well, you think blah, 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 and you're going, I'm still dealing with the damage in the relationship because I said something stupid 3 months ago. Why didn't I just hold my tongue and not say it, or stop and say it a little bit better way?
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I know, it's so true. It's so true. How many of you have ever, and by the way, I'm supposed to repeat all that. Russ mentioned that sometimes sometimes he says the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong way. And marriage is a tremendous opportunity. Marriage is a wonderful opportunity for us, because he mentioned your marriage. Marriage is right where it should be, where we put these principles into action. I mean, Debbie has to live with me, okay? It's not like I can, Adam, I'll see you tomorrow for elders meeting. I could be terrible between now and then, and you just, you know. But Debbie's going to know the real me, all right?
If my wife's not my friend, something's wrong.
Exactly. If my wife's not my friend, there's something wrong. I'll quote that. Yes. All right. Yes, very good. All right. How many of you have had, like, a very, put it on a positive, how many of you had just been very depressed, very discouraged, very down, and someone said just the right thing to you at the right time, and all of a sudden the cloud lifted? How many of you had that experience in your life? Yeah, I mean, it's just like, okay, I see hope in this. I see hope. Yeah, where you felt hopeless. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our relationship with each other and what we say matters. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Boy, we could discuss that one. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are on every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Wow, what a verse. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And I want to just share one example in my own personal life. And to me, it's fun now. But years ago, to be honest with you, my mom and dad were very generous in giving me, as a graduation present from college, a trip to Israel. And this is like the experience. I was in my young 20s. There has been no greater experience than this. And so I'm on the bus, and you know, you're in this bus with 50 other people for like 10 days. And you're on a plane with 50, 60 people. And from the church that I grew up in was the sweetest, godliest, most humble woman, a widow lady. She was the sweetest thing you have ever seen in your life. But on the bus beside her was the most cantankerous, hateful woman I have ever met in my life, which her statements were this: I don't even, all we're looking at is old rocks, old buildings. Who wants to do this? The sweet lady. But it's so nice for us to be here where Jesus really was. And I don't care about this kind of stuff. I don't even know why I came on this trip. I'm across the aisle. And I was biting my tongue, and I was that close to saying, well, I wish you hadn't. Okay, I really wanted to say that. To which the godly sweet lady, and remember, the lady says, I don't even know why I came on this trip. To which the lady to her right, who just evidently walked with God, said, but we're all so very glad you did. Wow. Now, two things happened. Huh. That woman got a lot better off, and I felt that big. That woman will not even know until I tell her one day in heaven what her words, because I was in my 20s then, and what am I now, 40? But I mean, for crying out loud, that's still so, the way I felt, I can picture where I was in that bus in Israel when that woman said that, and I just melted. I thought, oh, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our relationships with each other really matters. There's so much more I'd like to say on this. I gotta mention this, okay? Proverbs 19:11, and then I do want to, okay, hopefully I've got the right. Okay, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is glory, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. I was sitting across the table from my wife, and I was expounding upon someone who had really, really made me mad, and really, really disappointed me, and really upset me. And by the way, that person is not in this room or has anything to do. And I was venting. And Debbie sensed that I had vented long enough. To which she started singing from the Frozen movie, "Let it go, let it go." And it took me a minute to understand it. And so now every time I start dealing with something and I realize I'm not necessarily dealing this in a godly way, I can hear her beautiful voice in the back of my mind going, "Let it go, let it go." And I laugh. Okay, cut each other some slack. Just give each other some slack. In your marriage, in a relationship with these other, just, "Well, you hurt my feelings." Well, what do you expect? That person's a sinner, and you're a sinner too, by the way, okay? What did you expect? Just give each other some slack. That's one of the very important aspects of friendship. I'm going to close very quickly, because we are out of time, with something I want to get to every time. And we'll go back over this. Okay, our wonderful Savior. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And by the way, this is all based on John 15:15. "I don't call you servants, I call you friends. For a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing." We know what our Savior's up to. He shared his heart with us. We have the mind of Christ. Okay? We have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:16. We don't know people in the flesh. We know them in the spirit. Think about this week what that means. Learn to see people not as the enemy, but as the victims of the enemy. Our Savior, our best friend, turns Simon the Zealot into Simon the follower of Jesus. He turns Matthew, the dishonest tax collector, into Matthew, the writer of the first gospel in our New Testament. He turns the great terrorist of the church, Saul of Tarsus, into Paul, the writer of the book of Romans. Learn to see people the way Jesus does. It affects our relationships, our friendships with unsaved people. Let his words just kind of wash over you. Truly, truly. Let's read that together, okay? John 5:24. Everyone, it's up here in the front. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life," present tense. "He does not come into judgment," also present tense. That's not the directory of your life. "But has passed from death unto life." Past tense with present results. Has passed from death into life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Listen to your friend. Listen to your friend. And on bad days, let his words kind of wash over you. If you will, and if you'd be so gracious, the first page of your homework number one, this week, if you will, just take a few moments in addition to what else you're having for your devotions, and just take a few moments and look at the love one another passages in the New Testament.
First Thessalonians 4:0.
Is that in a future one? Is in this one? It's a typo. I'm so upset that I did that. I can't even find it right now. Okay, yeah, 4:0. Whatever the typo is, I'll figure it out by next week. Read 1 Thessalonians 4. Read 1 Thessalonians 4. Good. All right, thank you guys so much for being here. And I hope that this will be just an encouraging time, and I'm very honored to have the time to do this and to be able to share this time with you. Let's thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for our friendship, for our relationship. Thank you for the best friend, our Lord Jesus. And it's his name we pray. Amen.